Welcome to Barbecue Radio Network, America's premier barbecue radio show. Join your host, two-time world champion, Andy Groneman and friends, as they sink their teeth into the finest grilling, smoking, and barbecue from coast to coast with the industry's leading pitmasters. Stay tuned for great tips, techniques, and products that will enhance your backyard experience by being a part of the Barbecue Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Barbecue Radio Network, where we bring you all the tips and tricks from the leaders in the barbecue world. I'm your host, Andy G, along with executive producer T-Bone and my co-host, world champion and owner of Plowboys Barbecue, Todd Johns.
What do you know? Here we are back again.
I don't know much, Todd. I know less every day, I feel like.
I know. I've been cooking up a storm. I've got the Yoder up on the patio now, and man, I've been cooking like almost every day.
I just did a whole chicken in the Yoder pizza oven.
Oh.
And this is one of my favorite things to do. And like, we've had this beautiful 80 degree weather. So yeah, I did that. We did. So yeah, there's a lot of cooking going on right
yeah.
now. It's awesome.
Did some ribs this last weekend just for the heck of it, and had some guys over. It was a ton of fun.
Heck yeah. Well, and with your new kitchen and everything, like you're aces.
It's making you want to cook.
Yeah, it makes you want to cook with the way you've done that. And of course, when you've got the tribal element across the river from you there with the neighbors yeah. they're firing up the fire pit and having.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Lord of the Flies or
that's
Coachella.
What I thought it was.
It could be like Coachella Light. I don't know, but man, there's some fun stuff happening across the creek from me.
Yeah, I was thinking Lord of the Flies
it
when
looks
I was
a little
standing
bit more that
there.
Way, yeah.
We were over checking out the new kitchen, but. We're excited to have a returning guest today. He's a two-time world champion with hundreds of other awards, state titles under his belt. But not only that, he's got 34 years in the meat business, and he uses all that knowledge to bring some of the best barbecue products to market, and he shares all that knowledge on how to use them. David Buska, the owner of Butcher Barbecue, is joining us today. Check out his website at butcherbbq.com. And you can check out all of his videos and recipes and, of course, pick up some of his amazing barbecue products. I mean, Todd, I don't know what your thought is, but David is one of the smartest and most knowledgeable individuals I know about anything meat related.
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned so much from David over the years and, you know, got to know him pretty early on when he was starting out, when I was starting out. Yeah, he's having all of that time owning his own meat processing facility, you know, being a part of Sam's Club and their meat department. And yeah,
and,
a ton of experience.
The amazing thing about how his mind works to me is he picks up every single little detail about the entire process, from the processing and the quality of the meat and what makes it good and what flavors are going to enhance it, to the merchandising of it and where it needs to be mm-hmm. in a case and how it needs to look in a turn-in box and all of those things. Like, he has that stuff nailed down, and every time I talk to him, I learn something. So I'm excited.
And then as a cook, I mean, he's got a great palate. His products are very diverse. A lot of them, you know, kind of were originating, you know, he probably had the original honey rub that I remember.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone has those. And so,
And adding some phosphates in for poor brisket quality, like to get that texture and moisture content that you wanted in a competition brisket.
Yep. And there was only like one product out there prior to him that you could even find. And then he came along. And then
now we had Excalibur for pork.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember what the name of that product in the bucket was.
It was just Excalibur. I don't know, man. It was something. But now there's so many injectables out there. But, you know, David was really the one that kind of put it out to the mainstream.
Got it into the mainstream. Yeah. And then in our fourth segment, we're going to talk about getting started cooking. Like we just said, spring's here. And maybe this is your first season getting a grill. Maybe everybody that's upgrading and doing their stuff is throwing pits on Marketplace or all of that right now.
You're going to find some good buys out there. So is it right for you? What are you looking for? What's going to fit your arsenal? What's going to help you get started? Whatever.
Yeah, so we'll hit on some of those topics and talk about what we need to add to the deck or to the patio for a cooker. So that'll be fun. And, you know, we get I like to talk about that kind of stuff anyway, just because I've had so many cookers over the years. And now I'm at the point where Kim does not allow me to add a pit unless I remove a pit.
That's right.
Right? It's like one in and one out. I can't sneak them in anymore. There's no more storage space.
Yeah. I had to self-discipline on that deal. Once I got to 20, I was like, I'm not going to cook on all these. If I'm going to add one, I'm going to delete one. So.
I like, have you ever seen Steven Reichlin's setup?
Yeah.
Like, he has that garage where it's like the dead body cut, you know, like pictures for each of the cookers to set in, and he's got a Morton building.
The chalk outline.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's time now for our Ask Andy segment, which is brought to you by Smoke on Wheels Kansas City Bootleg, which, of course, you can get at All Things Barbecue. And I have to remind everyone, if you leave us a question on the Facebook page or you email it to T-Bone, you will get yourself a coveted Barbecue Radio Network t-shirt when we use it on air. T-Bone, what do you got for us?
This is from Stephen James in Overland Park, Kansas. Just right down the road from us.
All right.
The old OP.
Andy and Todd. Todd, you get to chime in on
nice.
That. Andy and Todd, I know what direct heat is and indirect heat is, but how do I know which one is the optimal choice for cooking?
Cooking what?
Yeah. I
mean, yeah. Coming. Yeah.
And when and how long?
Well, isn't that what choice is based on?
Yes.
There you go. You got 3 minutes.
All right. Well, I mean, those are the questions, right? So what is it that we are intending to do? And, you know, there we had Tim Shear from Blues Hog on, right? And so yes, he really has blown the theory that brisket and large cuts of meat have to be done indirect heat, off of the heat. He's cooking things hot and fast over direct heat in a drum. So there's, again,
you don't
I
have
just
to have a 16-hour brisket.
I go to, there's no right or wrong way to do barbecue, and you can do things direct, you can do things indirect, but you have to know what you're cooking on, and you have to know how to manage it depending on the cooking style that you've chosen.
And what I would say is, especially if you're a beginner, I always try and start people in more of a low and slow method because your window of forgiveness is much broader. So, for example, that 12 to 16 hour brisket, you've got a 45 minute to maybe even an hour window where it's going to be fine when you find it on the pit and it's done. It's not going to be too far over or under within maybe an hour of checking it. When you're doing that 350-degree, 4-hour brisket on a drum, you've got about 8 minutes.
Yeah. Again, it goes to the process, right? Like, you can't cook over a direct heat on a kettle or a – because you can do a brisket on a kettle, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're doing things direct, you can't cook like you're doing them indirect. You can't wrap it in butcher paper, probably, because it's probably going to catch on fire. You need to rotate and flip and move things around a lot more if you're cooking direct. If you're cooking indirect, things can sit there and just kind of hang out. But short cooks, I typically want things direct, chicken breasts, burgers, things like that, steaks. And then you can do the reverse sear thing and kind of have a combination of both. It can be over cooking indirect for quite a while and then move it over direct just to sear it off.
And when you're cooking direct, you can leverage the radiant heat off of your fuel source, or you can move further away from it and still be direct where you're not leveraging that radiant heat as much. So you can have your coal bed lower even though you're still direct. So,
yeah, and I was expecting radiant to be part of that conversation too, because that's kind of a third way, right?
Yes. So I guess the point is, depending on what you want to cook and how long you want to cook it, you can choose. And that's part of the fun of outdoor grilling. You get to play with both and see what you like best. Next segment, we are going to be talking with David about managing things when they go awry. Check out his website at butcherbbq.com. And coming up, Trust Your Butcher, right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
You have a better recipe for when you grill. Better ingredients, better cuts of meat, and because you're using a grill from Holstein Manufacturing, well, a better grill. You take grilling seriously, and at Holstein Manufacturing, we make a serious grill. Find your new grill now at HolsteinMFG.com.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
Holstein Manufacturing, we build the grill.
Welcome back to the award-winning Barbecue Radio Network. I'm Andy G, along with executive producer T-Bone and my co-host, Plowboys owner Todd Johns. And we've got a returning guest this week. And as I said last segment, he's a two-time world champion. He has hundreds of awards and titles under his belt. But not only that, he's a 34-year veteran in the meat business. And he uses all that knowledge to bring some of the best barbecue products to market and share that knowledge with us. So David Buska, the owner of Butcher Barbecue, is joining us today. Check out his website at butcherbbq.com, where you can check out all of the videos and recipes and, of course, pick up his amazing products. Welcome to the show, David.
Hey, welcome. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Well, we always love having you on. And I was saying earlier, you know, I learn something every time I talk to you. So I try and talk to you whenever I can, because I know less every day myself. I have to pick your brain to learn something new.
Well, let's hope it's not that old saying where you got to move something out of the way to learn something new.
I think there's enough atrophy in my brain cells.
I was going to say, what brain cells? You got very few left, man.
They're full of hickory smoke.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Well, you've got some cool stuff going on. You got some things coming up. I was, you know, and I know Todd's got a Shields thing coming up. I know you do some stuff with them. Like, what's going on? You got some products rolling. What's happening?
Yeah, let's see, what is it, 10 days, 2 weeks out, something like that. All of us are going to meet up in Fargo, North Dakota. It is part of what they call Barbecue University, and what it's a week or 7, 8, 10 days long, to where they bring in a couple of associates from every one of their stores across the country, and they bring in the pitmasters of the products that they sell, and they ask us, we teach them how to cook brisket. They cook brisket, and then they go through seminars throughout the whole day. I myself have always been asked to do how to sell barbecue products, and I've always done like a 3 or 4 45-minute segments. This time, they've not asked me to do that, but so I'll be doing a rotation, like 15 minutes at a time, and there'll be, oh my gosh, I don't know, 15, 20 of those going through the building. But we'll cook brisket one day, we'll slice it, and they'll send it to the judges. Then everything left over kind of becomes supper that night for them. But it's more of a tasting, and then all the associates go from table to table and gets to taste everybody's brisket and creation of what they've done with the brisket meat. And then they kind of judge there, and it's kind of a people's choice type thing. So that night they'll give away 2 awards. And then the next day, I think everything that is left over goes back to the cafeteria, and it might become breakfast hash. I'm not sure. And then, but every day is a little different. One day will be sponsored by Lodge, and they'll teach them how to use outdoor cooking equipment. One time might be LEM products. Another, and they'll go and do shotgun shooting and trap shooting. I mean, it's everything in their sporting goods store. They spend a week long learning different avenues of it. And this is, I think, it'll be my 4th year going up and working with them. And then I'm actually been invited to go to a local Shields in Wichita in May. They want me to come up and do a rib cook for them. So we're going to go ahead and do a little bit of seminar and with them.
Well, it's pretty cool that they invest in their employees enough to bring them all in to learn about the products from the people that make them.
It's huge. It is huge.
There's nothing better than that firsthand experience. And I know I've done some consulting with different groups. And I remember one of the hardware stores that I was working with, you know, they didn't have a cohesive thing every place. And then you walk in there and, you know, Phil's the electrical guy and you got Joe in plumbing, and you can go in there with some fitting you've never seen, and he's going to know what it is and where it goes. And, oh, that's a flange from this and blah, blah, blah. But they didn't have a barbecue guy. So if you want to grow in that space, you got to have a guy, right? Or a gal. And so that's what they're doing. If they're sending people from every single store, that's what they're investing in, is getting those experts built, which is huge. What a
Absolutely,
a great plan. And they get to learn from the master like you. And I think Todd will be up there, so you'll probably pick up a little something from him too, I imagine.
Well, I mean, I taught you all your secrets. So.
Yeah, yeah. Just my secrets. That's all you thought.
That's right.
But yeah, that'll be awesome. So you're going up there to talk product. You got anything new in the works?
I myself, yes. I've got six new rubs we're going to be releasing. Gosh, I'd like to have them in 30, 60 days. Everything's finished on them. Labels are done. I mean, we're at that point where I can place some POs.
Nice.
Yeah. We're going to kind of keep the rest of that tight to the chest as to what it is till the big release. But there is. I've got six brand new rubs fixing to hit the market.
You got to keep it tight to the chest till they're ready to go. But, you know, we do take those rubs and are happy to test them and talk about them.
I would be glad to take some of those off your hands at Shields.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if I could have gotten some samples done, that would have been a good deal. Yeah.
You've done such a good job of innovating. And Todd and I were talking about this off air, like the first honey rub that came out with that style of rub. Like,
yeah.
you brought that to the masses. Like, I love the Texas bark, which created a different thing than what most of mainstream barbecue was doing for a brisket rub or a rub that could create a nice bark. So I'm anxious to see what those are coming out. And everybody at Shields will have a great time with that, without a doubt. But yeah, so, you know, we've got spring here. We're talking off air about we're grilling like crazy now. Todd and I have both been firing our stuff up. What's been your go-to this spring for a recipe that you want to share with everybody?
Man, you know, I have cooked, and I know this is nuts, but I have been cooking more prime rib and ribeye than I have cooked, and that's been my favorite go-to forever. But there's just something here, I don't know, in the last 3 months that I've been playing with the fire itself. I know that sounds nuts. I've got a couple drums. Everybody knows me as a pellet head, but I got a couple drums. I got a Weber. I got pellet grills. I got all that stuff. But I'm trying to find something, and I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what it's called, but I would call it the ultimate fire that will seal on a fire grate without flat iron. You know what I'm saying? And
so to get that Maillard on the entire piece of meat without having to have a plancha or something flat.
Exact. Bingo. You hit it right on the head. And I've kind of been stuck. Pardon me. I've kind of been stuck between not really a reverse sear, but something super hot, but kind of in a drum more than in a pellet grill that I'm known for. And I've been playing with that, and I don't know. I just have fell in love with it. The prime rib I cooked for Easter came off of the drums, and oh my gosh. I liked how those come out, so that got me going even that much more. Yeah.
Well, we'll probably hit on that again next segment when we start talking about when things go awry, because cooking over fire can definitely do that. But we're talking with David Buska. Check out his website, ButcherBBQ.com. Follow him on social media, at ButcherBBQ. And when we come back, we're going to pick his brain on how to recover from our barbecue mishaps and fix all those mistakes that we make. Talking more with David next, right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
Blue Creek Wagyu wants to help you elevate your beef. Experience the rich beefy flavor and signature buttery tenderness from our Wagyu beef, grown right in the tall grass prairies of Kansas. Our farm-to-fork commitment ensures only the highest quality beef makes it to your plate. Go to BoothCreekWagyu.com and choose from our four marbling grades to find your perfect steak. Use promo code RADIO when you shop and get 15% off your entire order. Booth Creek Wagyu. Elevate your beef.
Welcome back to Barbecue Radio Network with my co-host, Pitmaster Todd Johns, our executive producer, T-Bone, and I'm Andy G, and we are back talking with David Buska, world champion pitmaster and owner of Butcher Barbecue, and their slogan is Trust Your Butcher, and I highly suggest you do. Hit his website, check out all the videos, recipes, and product info. You can check out his podcast while you're there, too. Welcome back, David.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for kicking me for the second one. Second segment. You didn't kick me off.
No, I wouldn't kick you off. I mean, we always have good stuff to talk about, and I do love trying to figure out the best way to cook a ribeye. But, you know, this segment I wanted to talk about, because, and you're the master of this, is to how to fix stuff when it's starting to go south on you. And as a comp cook and as a just a phenomenal cook in general, sometimes through no fault of our own, oops, the stack gets left open. Oops, the piece of meat was tough. How do I get it tender? All the things. Let's talk about that. How can you fix something once it starts to go awry?
Well, I think the thing to think about is I'm going to put everybody in their own scenario right now. All of us barbecue guys, we cook, we get some good food, we pass it around to our families and our friends. And this time of year, especially for the next 30 to 45 days, all of us are going to be asked, can you cook for 35 people for a graduation? I've got this going on. I got a family. I've got a wedding. You know, we all are going to be asked for cooking for an event.
Yep.
Well, in that event, things happen. Let's be real. And meat's not cheap nowadays. Rub needs to be more expensive for on my end. So let's just all try to remember or think about things that have happened and things that how to fix it. One thing this last weekend, a real good friend of mine, he was cooking some ribs and he didn't think far enough out. But what he was doing while he was out checking his ribs, he accidentally bumped his outlet air and it opened up all the way. And he had let it go about 45 minutes and he went back out to check it and he realized his cooker was well over 400 degrees. And he popped the lid and he had already wrapped his ribs and he probed them and they were at 212 degrees. They were done. They were done. Exactly. And he called me. He's like, what in the heck do I do? I've got an hour and 45 minutes before turn in. Might have even been 2 hours before turn in. He says, what do I do? And I'm like, well, first off, let's close the damper. Let's start getting the cool down, but don't shut it down. I said, burp the ribs, open them up, get that cool. I said, now, how long in your cooker? And this is the one thing that I think people need to realize or think about. How long in their cooker environment will it take to get 10 degrees on the internal meat temperature? Okay. So if it normally will take you approximately 30 minutes for 5 degrees, so it'll take you 45 or 50 minutes to an hour to gain a full 10 degrees.
Yep.
So I said, lower them. I said, you got an hour and a half. I said, get them down to about 185 to 190 degrees. Close them up and then just hold them. And then the last hour, put them back in. Get them raised back up. Get them back up to temp because they're going to seize up a little bit when you flash cool them like that. Now they'll recook, but they won't become mush because you shut them down below because meat tenderizes all the way through to 190 degrees. So as you're going up, as you're still coming down in that temperature, meat is still breaking down the connective tissues and tenderizing. So I said, get it down below that so that it stops it. But it never would have finished completely getting tender what he was going to need because he blasted through it going backwards.
Yep.
So I said, now get it back in. Give yourself that one last hour to get it back up where you need to be so it'll continue keeping it tender and you can finish your cook.
Dave, that's one of the first things I remember learning from you ages ago was things are still cooking. I remember you saying this, things are still cooking on their way down, even though they're off the smoker, maybe. Yep. They're still cooking. If they're in a cooler, if they're in a camera, hell, if they're just sitting in foil on the counter, they're still cooking as they're coming down. And you gotta, you know, we always think that, oh, they're off the smoker, they're off the grill, I'm done cooking. No, that stuff's still hot and it's still breaking down and it's still cooking.
Yeah, and that's something you probably learned a lot in the restaurant world. Holding things in cabinets, people think, well, I'm just going to hold it. Technically, you're not holding it. You're just slow, super slow cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what our cam bros do.
You have to figure that into your process. And I think that's where having something that can monitor and even track, like a fireboard, where you've got probes in meat and you can go back later. And in order to know how long does it take in your scenario to go up 5 degrees, 10 degrees, you can actually see that on a graph. You can actually, you know, pinpoint that depending on what you're cooking and the temperatures you're cooking at. And I know you've always like really broke down the process of cooking. I almost wonder if you cook for fun ever, because I think you're always cooking for purpose.
I'm testing the family and they don't even know it half the time.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
and another scenario on trying to figure out what to cook or how to fix a cook is several years ago I went out to California and I cooked in that King of the Smoker.
Yep.
Well, he requires that you turn in burnt ends and slices in your box.
Correct.
Okay. I always separate my meat from the whole cook, but I always leave my burnt ends on the cooker. I just let them go until they are so soft they're hard to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember checking the temps in my brisket. I think it was Snake River. But anyway, I checked it, and I'm like, man, that's the temp I want. I pulled it, put it down in the ice chest, which wasn't an ice chest. You know, it was a cam bar at that time. But I was holding it. We went through, did the chicken. We got chicken, ribs, pork. And I went to open up my brisket because I always trim my or cube up my burnt ends first. Toss them in the sauce, and then I start slicing. Well, I pulled my burnt end off of the smoker or the drum, and I opened it up. Dude, that was my slices. I pulled off the wrong aluminum foil 2 hours earlier.
Oh,
yes, I did. And Wilma was with me, and she's like, what are we going to do? And I said, I need a few Ziplocs. I said, grab me some Ziplocs. And we took the Ziplocs. I took that burn in, and I put it in the Ziploc, and I shoved it down in the ice chest itself where it was full of ice. I said, that's got to get cold. Well, I mean, that was the slices. And I shoved that down in there, and I said, that's got to get cold. And I grabbed the burn ins, and I said, I need some more, the juice out of that brisket slices. And I made up a new aluminum foil boat, filled it full of juices, wrapped it tight as I could with aluminum foil, and I opened up the can, and I just shoved it right down in the coals, and I covered it up. Wow. I said, I've got about 10 minutes to where I've got to get started so we can get this box done. But in 10 minutes, that's got to cool, and that's got to get hot.
So you made your own, like, blast cooler and microwave on site.
You know, you got to do what you got to do. And with everybody coming up cooking, like what I said, coming up with parties and things, you know, you back time. Everybody should understand what I mean with back time. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to eat at 5, it takes 4 hours to cook. You do this for 30 minutes. Okay, you back time. Well, let's be real. The families are showing up. The neighborhood's coming over to pick up their whatever. And you're 30 minutes before everything comes, and you got an hour's worth of cooking left.
I had the same happen. I did a graduation 2 weeks ago. I had the same thing happen with my pork. It wasn't finishing. And you know, gosh, how many times have I cooked pork butts? Like billions. It just happens sometimes. There was no reason. The time was perfect. It just wasn't happening.
And you got to just put the hammer on it.
You got to put the hammer on it.
Make it happen. That's right. So think of every scenario and give yourself that ability, that crutch. So if something's like that, don't wait till the end. React in plenty of time, because it's sure a lot easier to hold it done than to try to get it done.
Yeah, and again, if you're headed towards overdone, you know, go ahead and pull it and plan accordingly so that you've got that time at the end to bring it back, like you said.
Oh, absolutely. I've done that with my ribs and stuff like that all the time in competitions. I'll be an hour and a half before turn-ins, and I'm 5 degrees before it gets done. I don't want to hold them that long, so I'll pull them out, burp them a little bit, let them cool, close them up, put them back, and be just fine.
Yep.
But, stops it. Yeah, you got to get it below 190 to do that.
Well, thanks so much, David. Head on over and check out his website, butcherbbq.com, for all the great products and tips. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Todd right here on Barbecue Radio Network. Welcome back to Todd and Andy here on Barbecue Radio Network. This segment is brought to you by Holstein Manufacturing. Check them out at HolsteinMFG.com. They have NSF certified cookers and grills, and of course, my favorite corn roasters. And they've got amazing mobile event and catering rigs as well. Check them out at HolsteinMFG.com. Man, I get all amped up and excited talking to David. It's like,
he's always got energy. He loves barbecue. And like I said, I don't think he cooks for fun. I think he's always cooking for a purpose. Like, he just can't just like enjoy a cook.
I think he's always down a rabbit hole for us too, which yeah. I love. Like, he's like, here's how we're fixing the ribs and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That to me is just gold. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm taking notes as he's talking, and I'm like, wrote down, meat is still tenderizing up to 190. Like, there we go. So, I knew that if I dropped the temp, I could stop that process and then restart it. I didn't know the number in my head where that was stopping. So I wrote 190 down.
There you go.
Like I said, I learned something from David every time I talk to him.
If Buska's talking, you better be listening.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's always great having him on, and I can't wait to see the 6 new rubs either. But
which ought to make 24 rubs for him, I think.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of products.
Yes. But it's time, speaking of products, time for our All Things Barbecue Product Spotlight. Their website is atbbq.com, and All Things Barbecue has all the tools and accessories you need to take your barbecue to the next level. So get fired up and get all your supplies over at ATBBQ.
Yeah, and so we are going to feature one of David's products. It's Butcher Barbecue Prime Dust. It is part of the ATBBQ Umami Brisket Kit, and there's a couple of variations to this kit. I've really been loving the kits that they have at All Things Barbecue. This one actually comes with a Chef Tom video on the Umami Bomb Brisket.
Does he sign the video? Like, does it come on a disc in the...
No, you have to watch it online. Oh, well, but
that's a little bit... I wanted, like, you know, on a DVD, they've got the, like, the CDs. They've got the little... what do they call that?
It's all online. The liners?
The liners. Yeah. I want a Tom-signed liner.
You want a Tom 8-track?
For an Umami Bomb.
You're showing your age. Like a cassette tape?
Is that what
you want?
I want the liner.
You want a VHS? Signed. We'll get you a VHS. So the Umami Barbecue... the Umami Brisket Kit comes with the Butcher Barbecue Prime Dust Injection, Plowboy's Bovine Bold Rub, and an All Things Barbecue Prime Brine and Marinade Mixer. And there's an option to get a pistol grip injector with that as well. Without the pistol grip injector, it's $45.49. So you can do a lot of briskets with that. Yeah, twice the price. Two, three great products right there.
Awesome. And never hurts to have a little bit of umami for your brisket.
That's right. For your
mommy.
I
was waiting for you to drop the umami joke.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to fit it in.
Well, now we get to talk about fun stuff, which is we're spring grilling season. There are cookers starting to pop up on the interwebs. You go to Facebook Marketplace and it's like, ooh, I could get one of those.
Yeah.
Or there's something you're looking for because maybe you got your Blackstone, but your grill's suffering this year, so you need to do something.
Where this really came up was I had a friend reach out to me a couple nights ago. Hey, there's a pellet grill, and it rhymes with Rager. But there's a pellet grill on Marketplace. My neighbor has it, and you know they want $350 for it. It's the smaller Traeger, so I think it retails for $650, $700, somewhere in there. So it's about a half-price deal, and it doesn't have a lot of room. But you know, my question was, you know, they asked me, should I get it? And my question was, what do you want to do? You know, this is someone who doesn't grill, doesn't smoke, but wants to kind of get into it. So yeah, there's a lot of things. People are starting to make room for new things, or maybe they're moving or whatever. Now's the time where, hey, it's spring. I need to get that grill on Marketplace or whatever. So my question to them was, what do you want to do? Well, I want to learn how to grill and smoke on it. Okay, but what kind of cooks do you want to do? Are you wanting to do brisket? Are you just wanting to do like some smoked
burgers and dogs
and dogs and chicken breasts and things like that? If you're wanting to do bigger, And is it just going to be you, or are you going to cook for a small party sometimes? Because that space is really, really limiting on that grill. Yes. It's a great deal. It's a fine grill for your backyard if you're a novice and just beginning. But is it going to suit your needs for what you think you're going to want to do? And to me, it would be too small. But I would want to do a pork butt and a brisket. And, you know, you might be able to do one, but it's going to be harder to manage on something that small. So that was my feedback to them. But if that's not what you're intending to do, or you think that's maybe further down the road, start out with this and then maybe graduate to something larger. Put it back on Marketplace and upgrade. There's a lot of that. And I think if you are finding that the grill or smoker that you do have isn't really meeting your needs, flip it. Throw it out on Marketplace and figure out what does meet your needs.
And one of the things that I always say is the more you cook, the more you'll cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do get bit by the bug and you're doing that, you're going to end up doing more cooking. So I always try and plan for that, especially if it's somebody that's looking at a smaller unit. If it's not too expensive to maybe just go a little bit bigger,
mm-hmm.
I always suggest to them to do that, because you all of a sudden you have success and then you want to breed more success.
Yeah. But if you're not sure if this is something, on the flip side of that, I think if you're not sure that this is something that's really going to be an involved hobby for you, don't go out and buy the, you know, $4,000 rig or the $3,000 rig or whatever, because it has all the bells and whistles in this and it looks cool and it has all the space and it may be a great grill, but it's probably outside of what you're going to use it for. So, you know, think about what kind of cooks are you envisioning? What kind of things do you want to try and tackle and learn? And then is it going to be more grilling or more kind of smoking?
Or can you have two pieces of equipment mm-hmm. too? That's the biggest question I always get asked is somebody trying to figure out how to minimize their equipment because they're limited on space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I want to grill. I want to smoke. I want to do breakfast on, like they see a Blackstone or a griddle, a Halo griddle, and they go, man, I want to do breakfast like that, or street tacos, but I don't have space to set up one of those and have my other cooker. So I've had a lot of people say, how can I merge pieces of equipment? So if somebody's got room, I always say, yeah, go ahead and buy an inexpensive version of that other thing. See if you like cooking that way, and then grow into something.
Well, you mentioned the griddles, like the Blackstones. Halo has a great griddle. Those are very popular right now. So are the pizza ovens. And so if you are limited on space, or maybe even limited on budget, Yoder has a pizza insert for their pellet grill. Green Mountain Grills. And griddles. Green Mountain Grill does as well. So maybe look at pizzas, and pizza stones are really, really popular right now. And you don't have to have an appliance that's dedicated to that. But you know you're going to want to do some hearth style pizzas. So maybe that's an add-on later for an additional, you know,
well,
200,
back
500
in the first
bucks.
Segment when we were talking about, you know, cooking a lot right now, I just did a chicken, and the funny part is I'll put that pizza oven into my Yoder, and I maybe cook pizzas in it one out of four times that I use it. I use it to cook casseroles and sear, like do a finish on a steak or cook a whole chicken like I did. I use it almost as much as a kind of like a wood-fired oven as I do a pizza oven.
Right. So you're getting more out of your investment of that grill. So, I think look at what other things can I add on to that piece of equipment. And maybe the thing that I found on Marketplace for $350, I can actually use it to do three or four different things. But if it's going to be a one-trick pony, you know, maybe let that one go, even though it's a great deal, and look for something that you know you're going to want to get into these things, because then you're starting to buy appliances just for specific cooks.
Yeah. So. And I try.
And then you get to be like you and me, where you've got like 20 different things you're trying to cook on, and it's, you don't use it all.
And trust me, I love the big Alpha pizza ovens. Mm-hmm. I like having a big wood offset smoker. I love cooking on a drum too, and a hasty bake. So there's different things I'll cook on any of them. But yeah, you want to try and start finding the right thing that fits what you're needing.
Especially if you're not nuts like we are and you're just kind of starting out drying stuff.
That's right. Well, we want to thank David Buska for being on the show again. Check him out at butcherbbq.com, and you can follow him on Instagram and Facebook at butcherbbq. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. For T-Bone Todd and myself, we will keep the pits lit until next time here on Barbecue Radio Network.
Barbecue Radio Network is heard on radio stations from Hawaii to Florida. If you have a business centered around barbecue or the backyard lifestyle, please consider advertising with us. Contact us through our Facebook page or website at bbqradionetwork.com.